Right now, 818 on the ticket. Sounds like we're going to get in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to get in there because recently I was asked, do I have any audio from 1995? They're putting this little tribute together for the 1995 North Texas team, the first year they went back into Division I. And I have these huge baskets, and I guess they're tubs that you can seal up of cassettes and reel-to-reel tapes, DAT machine tapes, that if I'm going to save them, I need to digitize them soon. Because as you'll hear, the quality is starting to fade. And I had a really tough time finding anything from the 95 season, but I did stumble into tapes that are older than even that. It's pretty remarkable. This show has been on the air since 1994. We started in the afternoon. We went to mornings in the fall of 95. And the three of us have been together doing the morning show ever since. That's a pretty incredible run. It's also pretty incredible. I just thought about this as I was listening back to this tapes, that you and I, Junior, have known each other since we were teenagers.
Yep.
Since we were freshmen at North Texas. Had you even turned 18 yet? No.
No, I was 17.
You were 17 when we first ran into each other. Did I tell you how I met him back at North Texas?
No, go ahead.
We had an English class together, and after about the third day, I was on one side of the room, and after 2 days of hearing some of Junior's humor on the other side of the room, I went over there and I said, you know, I think I'm going to sit over here. It's funnier on this side of the room.
I was killing it on that side of the room.
Oh, just destroyed.
And our teacher was Paul Williams, the noted composer, except he was a she.
Yeah. So we goofed around a lot in college, and this will show you just how funny Junior is and was funny even way back then. We've talked about this before. Anytime we go, even if it was from like 2 years ago, it's cringeworthy sometimes to go back and listen to your tapes.
I can't stand listening to myself, even if it's modern day, but going back this far, I'm going to be cringing all over the place.
I think you hold up pretty well here because the highlights that I found, I think, show your sense of humor even way back when. And I guess we had already turned 20 here. This is from 1987. This was a North Texas Abilene Christian football game. And that was one of the great things about North Texas when we went there, and it's still true to this day. Students can get involved in broadcasting and in journalism. And we had a chance to produce television shows. Don't worry about the quality of those television shows, but we were able to be in front of the camera, behind the camera, and at KNTU, the campus station, we were able to broadcast games. And our mentor at the time, the Hall of Famer Bill Mercer, was also very proactive in getting students involved in the broadcast. And what a great opportunity for us. I mean, we got to do high school games. You and I started a talk show together called Sportsline. Again, virtually unlistenable. It was terrible, but it gave us experience, and that's why we are where we are today, because we got that opportunity way back when.
We basically had 4 years of radio experience by the time we graduated.
Yeah.
And you don't get that at a lot of other schools.
No, and especially back then you didn't. But yes, this is our senior year, and so we're up doing a college game. How great is that? North Texas and Abilene Christian, we were both the color commentators, the three-man booth with Bill Mercer. I think I'm doing stats this night and color commentary. Again, I think you're destroying here. I laughed at the joke. Bill didn't think it was particularly funny, but here we go.
Second down and 9 yards to go at the 44-yard line. Davis drops. He looks. Throws. Knocked down. Incomplete at the 50-yard line. And a flag. McGinney had a player draped over his back. H. And I was wondering if I saw it a little late. But H was laying right over his back, and McGinney was tumbled at the 50-yard line.
I think Abilene Christian is claiming that it was H's ball.
Well, not exactly. McGinney was in front of him.
Well, that was more of a pun. H's ball.
Yeah, it was.
He's good with those. They almost waved off that flag. They had a meeting at midfield, then they decided to take it. John Payne doesn't like the call for Abilene Christian.
Well, I know, but on replay, H was great all over the back of McGinney, so... Payne sees it differently, of course. It's first and 10 at the 50-yard line.
Sound like Bill wanted to kick me out of the booth.
A little Skip Bayless like there. I thought it was funny. You could hear me laughing, but no one else really thought it was funny. But again, Junior Miller bringing some humor there back in 1987.
That's not bad quality for 87, although it does sound like it could be 1947.
I know. The quality of tape, and some of these even sound worse. This quality, I think, is a little bit better. This is circa 91, 92, and this was back in the days of the KRLD High School Game of the Week, where Craig Way and I would be in the booth, and Craig was doing the scoreboard show. But for some reason, this game is at Texas Stadium, so Craig and I are in the booth. Craig Way and I are in the booth, now the voice of the Texas Longhorns, and you're on the sideline.
Hmm.
I know you don't remember this game.
No.
Wilmer Hutchins and Roosevelt, maybe, I think is the matchup. We'll hear as we go in the Wayback Machine.
Ryan Kirk just had a fantastic night for Wilmer Hutchins, his third touchdown of the night, and it's 29-0. Wilmer Hutchins in total control of
that's
Roosevelt.
Your voice,
and
that's
Eagles
me, yeah.
Obviously dejected on that far sideline. They really felt good about their chances here tonight, and they find themselves in a big hole.
Here's the kickoff by Wilmer Hutchins straight down the middle, and this one fielded and falling on the football at the 17-yard line for Roosevelt is Darnell Miller. So the ball starts again for Roosevelt, now down 29 points with 9:46 to play, and Wilmer Hutchins heading toward a rematch with Waxahachie.
Now let's go down the sidelines. Craig Miller is on the Wilmer Hutchins sideline, a very triumphant sideline. Let's go down to Craig now.
Down here on the Wilmer Hutchins sideline, and a very happy bunch of Eagles giving each other high fives. They know that they've got this game won, barring a miracle. And one weather update, it's now officially below zero, guys.
I think that's he exaggerates
right.
A
that's
little
right.
Bit.
I think it was in the 40s that night. It wasn't that cold at all.
So you got to keep in mind, this is what year?
91-ish, 2-ish.
91. This is before the ticket was born. If you were going to try to do some humor, like on a real play-by-play broadcast, this was like the ticket changed the landscape so yes. much. What I'm doing there is really tame, but at the time it was really pushing the
there.
Envelope.
Right, it was real iffy. You can hear every primary broadcaster on these trying to steer it back onto the road
yes.
after you're finished.
I laughed.
Yeah, George laughed, but Craig and Bill wanted nothing to do with my humor.
I did. I
and
thought you were
I put
destroying.
Humor in quotation marks.
I thought you were
George, you had a different
destroying.
Voice there.
Yeah, I can't tell if that's the name or the speed of the tape, maybe.
No, Craig's voice was normal. Yours was a little more
broadcasting.
Yeah. You were doing the S's. The S affectation.
Let's go down to the sideline. Let's go down to the sideline. Yeah.
Side
you have to understand, back then we all tried to sound like Ron Franklin best we could. At least I
right.
did. So, yeah, I was probably trying to do professional broadcaster voice there. And like I said, it's cringy. It's so cringy to listen back to this stuff. Including this one. Now, we can dump out of this if you want, because the quality, if you think the quality of the first one was bad, because I recorded this in 1984, and you have to understand, Junior and I were huge Danny White fans. He was benched. Gary Hogaboom was now the Cowboys starting quarterback. Was
travesty.
Stinking up the joint.
Travesty.
So we took it on ourselves to start this Danny White campaign to get his job back. So we would call Tech Schramm, we would call Norm, and we would just try to generate as much Danny White talk as we could. So this is Tech Schramm show on KRLD. I do believe this is the late, great Frank Gleiber who's hosting this show. Goes to my call, and you talk about cringeworthy. And again, fight through the quality here and say dump out if you want, but here we go.
Once again, with Tech, let's field some more telephone calls. You want to ask Tech Schramm, do it, please.
Yes, hi, Tech.
Hi.
It seems like the dirty word tonight is quarterback controversy, and I was going to say something about it, but I won't just to save you. One thing I will say, though, I really don't think there is a controversy. I think all of us know that Jerry's going to be in there and he's going to have a Super Bowl championship.
Stop it for a second.
Yeah, I can't understand this.
Yeah.
No. We need to run this through Audacity and
yeah, we need to clean it up probably a little bit.
It sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher right now.
But I go on for 2 minutes. I said I don't want to talk about the controversy, but I went to this Danny White PR campaign for about 2 minutes, and Tex wrote it out. He stayed right with it. They took my entire phone call, and I remember I think you were listening. And I called and said, "God, you hear that? They kept me on forever." But what a waste of time, though. We could have been doing something much more constructive than calling a talk show just to try to pump up Danny White.
If I had a dollar for every minute I spent calling sports talk shows from the age of 10 to 20, I would be a billionaire.
So, yeah. Me too. Well, I didn't call as much as you did, but you got me into it. So I was starting to call talk shows then. So then we roll on to the days of the ticket, and this is now circa 98, 99. This is, I think, October or November of 98 when we had an NBA lockout. So we had no NBA basketball. So we had the idea, well, let's create our own basketball game. Let's have the fake Mavericks against the fake Bulls, and we played it at UTD. And the way I remember it, Michael Finley, the fake Michael Finley, hit a shot at the buzzer to give the Mavericks a win, a dramatic win. But here you go, Gordo. You're not going to be left out here. You're part of the broadcast team here. We bring 1998 Gordo along with us in fake Mavs, fake Bulls.
Welcome back to the fake Reunion Arena. George Dunham along with Craig Miller. We got the fake Mavericks and the fake Bulls today from the University of Texas at Dallas. Teams warming up on the court. The Mavericks in their home white trimmed in blue, and the Bulls in their road red trimmed in black. Craig, we know absolutely nothing about these teams except for what we've seen in a office building. Your thoughts on today's game?
George, I think this is going to be a great game. For those who are missing the NBA, this is where they should be. These fake Mavericks know that the real Mavericks pulled the upset of this century last year when they beat the Bulls, and these fake Bulls know that that can happen again right here on this court this morning.
Well, you can hear the teams warming up, and the Mavericks actually have dunking ability, which is nothing like reality as we see it here today at the University of Texas at Dallas.
Maybe we can get a quick word with both the coaches right now before the game, George. Our roving reporter is Gordon Keith. And Mike Ducey is coaching the fake Chicago Bulls. And I know before the game, he was mad at these guys.
Uh-oh.
Craig, I'm standing here with Mike Ducey, coach of the fake Bulls. Mike, I understand before the game, you're a little bit angry with your players.
Well, you know, I don't usually use profanity, but I felt in this case to get these guys ready to play. They weren't ready when they came in, I could tell. They were a little bit groggy. We got them rolling. I taught a couple of them how to dunk during the pregame talk, and as you can see, it's worked.
So apparently the F word is what they needed.
Apparently that was the motivation, Gordo, yes.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Gordo. All right. Thank you, buddy.
A lot of fake enthusiasm there from all of us.
It's been 21 years since we staged that event.
Yeah.
Wow. It was a great event.
That was a great event.
It was.
Going down to the final wire before the fake Michael Finley hit the shot.
Everybody thought we scripted that.
Yeah, how could you script the guy hitting the three?
You can't script that, right. It just happened that the Mavs won on a three at the buzzer.
And even back then, Mike Ducey was really generic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Even way back in 1998, and I think he had a full head of hair back then.
It ties for about a million way tie for his worst moment.
No, Ducey sounded great. And Dave Loffenberg, was the other coach of the fake Mavs, I guess.
Yeah. All right, a fun trip down memory lane as we get back in the way back machine. It's 8:32, and coming up next, we're the only local radio show he will talk to after a major. It wasn't a good one for him. We visit with Tiger Woods.